And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. And we welcome you guys back to the first GGR podcast of the 2018 year. It's been almost a full month since Luke and I have been able to record with the holidays, with Luke being able to spend some time with his lovely wife in Japan. That kind of put a hold on things with recording. So, you know, would we have liked to get this post-National Signing Day one out sooner rather than later? Yes. But here we are. We're able to finally sit down tonight. I'm able to tell some stories, able to kind of get into things. But Luke, I know that now that I mentioned Japan, people are clamoring to know, how was Japan and how is it feeling? What were your takeaways from Japan?
It's a beautiful country. I highly recommend
going.
How
long were you there again?
I forget. It was like 10 or 11 days. I don't know. It all kind of blurs together at a certain point.
What's the time difference?
15 hours. So, yeah.
So how was that jet lag?
It's actually not that bad. I have to travel for work, and I occasionally end up in that part of the world. And it's not too bad. You learn how to deal with the time change. It's always, you know, they say west is the best. So going west is the best, and I was able to adjust that way. And coming back, have some tricks. The first day is usually a little tough, but it's not too bad. But if you can go, you got to go. It's very interesting. Their history is very interesting. Their infrastructure in terms of like bullet trains, getting around really, really easy, highly suggest going.
I know that we've talked about this off air, but Luke knows that I just recently booked a trip to go to Europe in May, going to get some time away with family, with my significant other. So I'll be going to London and Ireland. That'll be my first time going to Europe. So what are your recommendations for me? What's the time change there? 6 hours?
It's either 6 or 7, depending. They're 7 technically in London and Dublin, but.
All right, so I'm pretty sure I'm going to be flying overnight. I'm leaving Minneapolis like on 5 p.m. and I'm going to arrive in London at like 5 or 6 a.m.
Yeah.
So is that first day I'm going to be dead, aren't I?
Can you sleep on a plane?
I don't know that I'll be able to sleep. You know, it'd be that whole excitement factor, but I have no issues kind of putting my head against the window or into the aisle, considering I am a 6'4" man. Leg room on an airplane for 7.5 hours is important.
So if you're looking for tips, number one, don't drink alcohol. Drink lots of water. Stay hydrated. That's the number one reason people get groggy as a result of flying. As you get on the plane, set your clock to the time zone you're going to and try to treat it as you're already there.
Should I put it on military time?
Doesn't matter.
Do you? When you were in Japan?
Nah, my phone's always on military time.
Okay.
Those would be my tips. Like, treat it like you're already there, and then kind of eat your meals that way as you're on the plane. And if you can stay up a little later the first couple nights before, that's some people do that. I never do, but you'll be fine. You'll have fun. It's fun.
All right. So if anybody has any tips or recommendations, I'll be in London for a few days, and then I'll be going around the country of Ireland. So if you've been there before, I'd love to hear what you have to say. Hit me up on Twitter at Ryan Burns MN, as I'm sure you guys all know. But Luke, I'm pretty sure they're not here to hear our travels. They want to get into this latest recruiting class and talk about some Gopher football.
Yeah, you know, we're not a travel podcast. We are absolutely a Gopher football podcast. So sorry for that momentary glitch there. But Ryan, the 2018 recruiting class is somewhat highly heralded. I think you were telling me before we started, there's something like 23 on 247, but the composite rankings has them 29th, which is overall, that's a really good haul for PJ Fleck in his first year.
Absolutely it is. And the funny part about all of this is PJ comes into his press conference on December the 20th. And he's like, you know, we signed a great recruiting class, as every college coach comes into and says. He goes, I'm not big into the rankings, but, and he basically goes off and he lists everything that Gobi and I had written and other bloggers on the internet had written about this class and how it's the best of the internet era. Now I'll get into what that means, but then he goes off for the next 10, 15, 20 minutes talking about how, you know, so-and-so is so highly ranked. It's the first top 25 recruiting class for Minnesota. And too many years. And I just think it's funny that PJ comes up and he's like, you know, I don't care about recruiting rankings, but, and then he spends the first 20 minutes of his 52 minute opening. I wonder, were there any questions?
Did anybody have a question after 52 minutes?
I mean, we had to ask some obligatory ones because, again, this is, a press conference of sorts. But I don't think there's much left to ask after a 52-minute opening. And the worst part about it was later that night, I was given a talk at Stubborn Herbs for the Goal Line Club. I gave a 38-minute opening. I have never talked for 38 straight minutes. But after spending basically the entire day with PJ and listening to him talk, I somehow gave a 38-minute opening. So I just think it's hilarious that PJ's, recruiting rankings don't matter. But what you need to know, again, we'll get into the specifics of each one of these guys, but it is the highest in the internet era. Now, what does that mean? And by internet era, we mean just the internet recruiting era. Now, if you look across all the sites, I believe the composite at the time that Minnesota signed this class, I think there were 26th, 25th, somewhere in there. Now, 24/7 Sports, my parent company of CBS Sports, the one who pays my paycheck, has them as the 23rd class in the country, a top 25 class. Obviously, something Minnesota really needed to improve at was in the recruiting rankings, because you look at the two teams in the national championship, Georgia and Alabama, those are the two teams vying for that top spot with Ohio State in the recruiting rankings for this class. So recruiting rankings matter. Things weren't going in the right direction with Tracy Clays, who, by the way, is now the new Washington State defensive coordinator, because as the Pirate would say at West, if you can't beat them, get him to join your staff and get him onto your ship. So Tracy Clays is now the defensive coordinator at Washington State as well. So this is the recruiting class that is the highest ranked top to bottom in terms of median average, in terms of, taking out the outliers, however you really want to look at it. And I believe if you go position by position, this is the highest rated offensive line class ever. And again, when I say ever, I mean the internet recruiting era. It's offensive line, defensive line, wide receiver. So you look at the issues Minnesota's had in the offensive line for over a decade now. You look at the sad spot of Minnesota's wide receivers over the last, especially over this last season. Wide receiver play hasn't been great. Minnesota's able to hang on to some guys there. A lot of things to be excited about in this recruiting class. And again, for all you Gopher Illustrated members, you knew it was a heck of a ride in December, trying to hang on to guys like Rashad Bateman, getting guys like Curtis Dunlap, Daniel Fa'alele committed. It was quite a ride. So let's get into it, Luke.
All right. So for those that are listening, what we're going to try and do is structure this such that we'll talk about guys that are early enrollees, because there are quite a number of those. Those would be guys that are actually going to start school here in January, and they will take part in spring ball. That way, if you are going to go back and you want to listen to this again, as you're going to watch a practice or, whatever that might be, you'll be able to hear about those guys. And then we'll finish up by talking about the guys that will enroll normally in the academic, I guess, break over the summer break, that's the normal way that most guys come into college. So, so to start off, for lack of a better list, I'm looking right at your website, and we'll just go basically,
what's the website, Luke, if folks want to follow along?
It's gopherillustrated.com on the 247 network.
And you go to the football recruiting tab at the top of the page, go down to commitments, and we can go from there.
Yeah, and it defaults to ranking, to actually ordering these by rating. So I guess we'll start with a Curtis Dunlap. He's a 6'4 offensive guard. He's 368 pounds. I guess nationally he's ranked 200th, and in his position rank, I'm assuming this is national, is 6th overall.
Correct. He is the big coup de grace in terms of offensive linemen. What you need to know about Curtis Dunlap is he alone is the single highest rated offensive lineman to ever commit to Minnesota in the internet era. Now, again, I can't speak for what happened in the 50s and 60s and, when the national championships were being won, but in the last 20 years for PJ Fleck to get the highest rated offensive lineman and not be from the state of Minnesota, I mean, it's a heck of a get. So the story with Curtis Dunlap is he is from Florida. He's from Jacksonville. He goes to IMG Academy, the football powerhouse, that basically just has them be professional, football players at IMG Academy. They really focus on just football and academics. Make sure you get your core things right so you can get into college. So Curtis is committed to Florida for over a year. He has an unfortunate deal with his family where I believe his father passes away In the last 12 months here, he becomes extremely close with his mother. He already was. He's even more close with her then. He starts to see what's happening at Florida. I believe their college coach gets fired. So he goes, takes an official visit to the University of Arkansas, likes it there, but then he's still kind of looking around. Well, it just happens to be that his roommate and also a Minnesota commit who will be here in January as a walk-on, Zach Anakstead from Mankato West, starts talking to him about Minnesota. He's been talking to him about it for many weeks. Curtis finally is like, you know, this PJ Fleck guy sounds like somebody I really like to play for. So what happens? Zach Anakstead tells Coach Fleck and staff. Coach Fleck and staff get in contact with Curtis. They have a couple of phone calls trying to make sure this would be a good fit for each other. They offer Curtis. What happens from there? Well, I mean, technically, Curtis is telling the staff, hey, I'm committed, but you need to get my mom. So what does BJ do the first week he's allowed to go on the road after the season ends? He goes up to Jacksonville, Florida with, I believe, Coach Kenny Burns, Ed Warner, Mo Lindquist, I think Rob Smith, to Jacksonville. So what they had to do that day was all of them went to IMG Academy. And then because you know, Curtis Dunlap can only have one day a week, they had to make the flight from Bradenton, Florida to Jacksonville. They had to do it in one day because that's the NCAA bylaws for that. So they went up, really started laying the groundwork for mom, saying, hey, I know you really don't want your baby so far away from home, but we think Minnesota would be a great opportunity for him, as he's been telling you. She's like, well, okay, well, I want to see how the visit goes. They come up on the visit on December the 8th. They're able to get him committed. So you get a big, gigantic guy, as Luke said, at 6'3", 6'4", 368 pounds, an Under Armour All-American. Again, getting the highest-rated offensive line commit to not be from the state of Minnesota in a 5-win season for PJ Fleck, that's a pretty good story.
All right, let's stick with IMG Academy. Another early enrollee is Daniel Fa'alele. This is a mountain of a man at 6'8", 400 pounds. And he also has a unique story, which I'd encourage you to read. Ryan maybe won't go into it that closely, but if you just search for Daniel Fa'alele, it's F-A-A-L-E-L-E. And if you search that in Sports Illustrated, there's an excellent story about his history and eventually getting to football.
Absolutely. The mountain of a man, the one that I've seen in person when he came up for his spring practice in March, and he is the biggest human being I've ever seen on a hoof that is a football player. He looks like a WWE wrestling star. He is all of 6'8", maybe 6'9", and he is a legitimate 400 pounds. And he does not look like he needs to get he doesn't look like he has a whole lot of bad weight on him. So the story goes with Daniel. Again, I don't want to get into it too much, but just to kind of give you the cliff notes of that SI story, Daniel, 2 years ago, is in Melbourne, Australia. That's where he's from. It's where his family lives. He's a rugby player over there. A University of Hawaii coach, because for some reason, is over there watching him work out. He's like, hey, if you ever want to play football, you have a full ride scholarship to come to Hawaii. And he's like, oh, I've never played football before. And I believe the Hawaii coach tells him about IMG Academy. They get in contact with him. The first day, Daniel Fa'alele arrives at IMG Academy. Again, for those of you who don't know what that is, basically, it is 4- and 5-star kids. Daniel Fa'alele every day at practice went against a 5-star 2018 defensive end and a 2019 5-star defensive end. That's all he's known. So he walks in to this practice, and everybody around him stops what they're doing mid-practice just to look at him, saying, who the heck is that guy? Now, Daniel has only played football. He's only had one high school season of football. And he's been going against 2018 and 2019 5-star defensive ends every day of practice. And then he goes out in the Under Armour game and looks very, very good. I got a lot of good reports from practice of him. Now, he is extremely raw. Again, you'd expect that for a kid who's been playing football for about 9 months. And he's been going against the best that America high schools have to offer, as I've mentioned. So he is going to be here. He is already here. So is Curtis Dunlap. So is Daniel Fa'alele. They're going to be roommates. They've already moved here. So, again, once it'll become all official, I guess, on the 16th when they attend classes for the first time. But this is a mountain of a man, someone that took official visits to Alabama and Georgia in the last 8 weeks before National Signing Day. And I just love seeing the internet trolls out there saying, well, he couldn't have committed there if he wanted. You know, his tape wasn't that good. For you internet bobos who have seen 2 minutes of tape of him at the opening when he still had been playing football for about 7 weeks going against the best that America has to offer. Folks, the two teams in the national championship, pro tip here for you. They don't bring you on an official visit, of which, by the way, you get 45 to 50 a year if they're not seriously considering taking you. So the fact that Daniel Fa'alele plays his senior season at IMG, he has 1 year of high school tape, and both Georgia and Alabama bring him on for official visits before he ends up committing to Minnesota. Yeah, I think Minnesota is okay with taking Daniel Fa'alele and you being an internet YouTube star. Yeah, I think he's going to work out just fine. So again, the ceiling that Daniel has is one that I don't think we've seen as an offensive lineman in quite some time. Again, you should search Twitter or search YouTube for you. Again, YouTube people, to see the clips of him tossing an Alabama defensive line commit twice in the UA game. Again, he is a big man, a very strong man, and he's already on campus here, and you'll be able to see him at spring ball here just in a couple months.
All right, let's talk a little bit about Vic Viramontes. He's a dual threat quarterback. He's a junior college transfer. He's actually the number one ranked junior college transfer quarterback. He's 6'2", 230, and very much the definition of dual threat.
Absolutely, he is. Victor Viramontes, as Luke mentioned, the number one JUCO quarterback in the country per 24/7 Sports. And I believe I've explained this backstory many a times, especially on this podcast. I believe on the last one that the story goes, 2016, he's one of the top 200 players in America. He's committed to Michigan for many, many months. He gets wind in November, December that maybe Jim Harbaugh is going to think about switching him to another position. He doesn't like that. He ends up signing with Sonny Dykes at Cal. What does Sonny Dykes tell him? He tells him, hey, once you get through your redshirt year, you're going to be the guy to replace Jared Goff. Jared Goff being the LA Rams quarterback who went number one in the draft that year. Sonny Dykes goes through that next season where Victor Viramontes is redshirting. He ends up getting canned. Victor Viramontes doesn't factor into the next staff's plan, so he transfers to Riverside Community College where he puts up, I believe, 20 passing touchdowns and over 20 rushing touchdowns. You should think of Victor Viramontes as a bigger, stronger, faster Chris Streveler. And I just don't understand now why people want to cringe at that, because if you haven't already, you should Google Chris Streveler, South Dakota, where he set many, many records. I know that the NDSU coaches have said publicly that he is the best offensive player they've gone against in many years. And he was throwing for over 300 yards a game at South Dakota. Now, I understand that the Missouri Valley isn't the Big Ten, but if he's able to do what Chris was able to do, and Minnesota, and especially Kirk Schrock, is able to develop a quarterback, that should be very exciting because he is extremely athletic. He can sling the ball. And I know that a lot of folks have been clamoring to see that read option, especially when Connor Rota won't run it. Demry Croft doesn't feel comfortable in it. Well, Victor Viramontes, 6'1", 235, and he runs like a gazelle. And if you haven't already, you can check out his highlight tape. Search Victor Viramontes Huddle, H-U-D-L, and you can see what he has to offer. Someone that is going to come in immediately. I believe he just arrived today from California, and he'll start classes next Tuesday, and he's going to be challenging Tanner Morgan for that starting spot. So, again, a lot to be excited about. Victor Viramontes, I believe he's the highest-rated quarterback to sign with Minnesota this decade.
All right, let's talk about defensive end Alex Riegelsberger. He is a 6'3", 247 pound defensive end out of the state of Ohio. He's also an early enrollee that'll start here classes in the next few days.
Someone that is very, very active on social media. He loves the Snapchat. He loves the Twitter machine. Loves everything about it. So I know that PJ mentioned that is signing day presser, they're probably going to have to get him to hold off on being on social media so often, but I know that he's already here in Minneapolis. He has been he's been at MOA. He's been to Blue Door Pub. I know he was in Uptown, so he's getting to experience all that Minneapolis has to offer, which I'm sure many Gopher fans really like. Someone that was committed to Kentucky for a very long time. After his sophomore season, he picked up a lot of Big Ten offers, a lot of SEC offers, ended up deciding to go to Kentucky, something that a lot of Ohio kids decide to do. He ends up decommitting from Kentucky, committing to Minnesota 2 weeks later. Someone that, when you look at the defensive end spot, I don't have to tell each and every one of you how limited Minnesota was there last year, with Carter Coughlin having to play that strong side defensive end, with Jerry Gibson tearing his ACL, with Nate Umlor having to burn his red shirt. That's where you hope you can get a guy like Alex Riegelsberger in, have him go through spring ball, have him get in a college strength and conditioning and, you know, agility program. I think maybe the speed and agility part is the biggest thing for me. But with these linemen, you want them to get in a college weight program, because if he is going to be potentially contributing early on, I mean, he's going to have to get up from that 245, 250 weight. But more importantly, he's going to have to continue to add explosiveness. He's got a very good motor, but again, we're going to have to see what he does in spring ball.
All right. Next early enrollee is Jornell Manns. He is a 5'11", 187-pound wide receiver. He's also out of the state of Ohio.
Jornell actually isn't. I don't think I've updated that. Jornell is – he could early enrollee, but he has decided not to. He just made that decision, so I haven't updated that yet, so that's my bad, Luke. But,
oh, you totally threw me off, making me look bad.
So we'll talk about Jornell still. Jornell, at the time he committed to Minnesota, committed to – Minnesota over Wisconsin. He just came fresh off a Wisconsin visit where the, again, if you don't know, with the 24/7 crystal ball thing, all the Wisconsin people started putting in crystal balls. They thought they were going to get him. He comes to Minnesota. PJ Fleck knows that Jornell Manns is a fantastic bowler. I believe his average is north of 200, something you don't see a whole heck of a lot, but he ends up committing to Minnesota over Wisconsin. Then Minnesota is able to hold on to him over places like Pittsburgh and Iowa State. Jornell is someone that played running back this year for his high school team because that's where they needed him, from Mansfield, Ohio. Was up for Mr. Football in the state of Ohio, had over 30 rushing touchdowns. Someone that is an absolute jitterbug with the ball in his hands from the slot. Again, that's where I think he can contribute right away once he gets to campus here in June. But again, you look at PJ Fleck beating out Wisconsin, Pittsburgh, Iowa State, amongst others. That's a very good get for PJ.
All right, next let's talk about another kid from Ohio, Thomas Rush. He's an outside linebacker, 6'3", 210.
Yeah, that's an interesting story. And this one goes back to the summer with these satellite camps, and we'll come back to the satellite camps a little bit later. But Thomas Rush was committed to Bowling Green at 6'3", 210 pounds to play running back. From Marysville, Ohio, I'm not sure if we have a lot of Ohio listeners, but from what I understand, that's not exactly near a whole heck of a lot. So Thomas Rush goes to one of the Nike combines, and you know, as we get closer and closer to NFL draft season, I'm sure you football folks who follow it, you're going to start to hear a lot about the Nike spark ratings. You know, how much of a spark freak this guy is, because he can jump so high, run so fast, go side to side this quick. Well, Thomas Rush had a spark score over 100, which is in the 1%, in the upper 1 percentile for all high school athletes tested across America. So Minnesota saw that. And they were like, hey, Thomas, you should come to our satellite camp, which I believe was on a Sunday. So Penn State also says the same thing, and their camp was on Friday. So they get him to camp, and they're working him out. James Franklin is following him around everywhere, and they're like, hey, Thomas, we're going to let you know here in the next 4 to 7 days, because we're waiting on this linebacker kid to make a decision. If he does not make a decision, more than likely we're going to offer you. He says, okay. Well, what happens? He comes to Minnesota's camp. Minnesota says, hey, we'd love to offer you, and you know, here's your committable offer. He says, I want to commit, but I want to see it. I'm like, okay, well, why don't you come tomorrow? So they schedule a flight for the next day. He comes and sees it. He likes it, commits, and Penn State is out of it. Now, you know, did Penn State end up committably offering him? No. But that's the backstory to it. Maybe if there would have been more time that had passed, if Minnesota had sat on it, we will see what happens. So Thomas Rush, he'll be an early enrollee, a 6'3", 215-pound, very, very athletic linebacker for Coach Rob Smith to work with, and potentially Coach Joe Rossi, which we'll get to a little bit later.
All right, so let's talk about, I believe this is the last early enrollee in Nathan Boa, product out of Lakeville North. He is an offensive lineman at 6'4", 250.
Yes, someone that earned his offer at camp, someone that Minnesota saw the first time around at their big man camp. I don't remember if it was padded or not, but I know that Minnesota was very intrigued by Nathan Boa at that camp. They asked him to come back to their camp, and I believe it was late June or early July, somewhere in there. They wanted to see him earn that offer. Again, a Minnesota kid, or even just a Midwest kid in general, if you want an offer from the University of Minnesota, you have to come earn it. Now, I understand that some people around the state, some people around the Midwest think of that as a slap in the face because, well, maybe I have so-and-so Big Ten offer or so-and-so Big 12 offer. Well, I just don't understand why people decide, you know, for their children potentially to get on their high horse and say, well, you're Minnesota, you should just offer me anyway. Never have understood that. Again, I fully applied Nathan Beaux coming out to camp, earning his offer, commits on the spot. So someone from Lakeville North that's going to be, he is already on campus here. He's probably going to be a center. So when you look at that center position, Jared Weiler going to be playing there more than likely in 2017 with Connor Rolson taking over after that. But after two, three, maybe potentially 4 years in the weight room, we'll see what Nathan Beaux has to offer.
All right, so let's go from the bottom up of the guys that are currently going to come in kind of as the standard recruit coming in the probably the June-ish time frame. So the first guy would be Josh Ani, who is designated as an athlete. He's out of Highland Park, St. Paul School here in the state of Minnesota. He's a 6'1", 200-pound athlete.
I think his ceiling is Blake Cashman. And if he can attain that ceiling, I'd be pretty happy. And I think most Gopher fans would be as well. Now, I think that Josh Ani is more athletic than what Blake is. Now, what makes Blake Cashman such a great football player is the fact that he is so instinctual. And once he trusts his instincts, he can go from 0 to 100 real quick. Now, am I quoting a song there, Luke? Potentially. But that's the reality that we're at here. Josh Ani is extremely athletic, someone that, again, came to camp. Someone that I know Iowa State was very ticked off about that they weren't able to offer him before Minnesota did because they were their camp was just after Minnesota's. Josh Ani did everything for Highland Park High School. He was, I believe, the outside linebacker, the running back, the punter. He did basically everything for that team. Someone that, again, has a very impressive spark score. I believe it's over 100 as well. So when you have a 6'1" kid, 210 potential pounds, someone that is going to start out at safety, but I think once again, he's going to take that Blake Cashman route where once he gets 12, 18 months into a college weight program, college strength and conditioning, speed and agility program, he's going to outgrow that and eventually become a backer. But he is should be thought of right now as a safety, someone that can come downhill in a very, very quick hurry.
All right, let's talk a little bit about CJ Smith. He's a cornerback out of Florida, 6'1", 175.
So Minnesota was looking for another corner when they decided to part ways with Shamar McDowell. Now, Shamar McDowell has not signed with anywhere that I've seen, which should be telling. And C.J. Smith was the one that they really circled in on. They knew that he had a 4 or 5 hand-timed camp time from, I believe, FAU, and they knew he was 6'1". One of Minnesota's recruiting assistants is actually very good friends with somebody on his coaching staff. They were able to get some background information there. They were able to go see what he looked like in person, and they were very impressed with what they saw. They moved on him with an offer, and he committed. He flipped from, I believe, Georgia Southern. So you look at his tape, someone that if you're looking for who is that next corner safety type that's going to come downhill and deliver the boom, especially with no more Duke McGee roaming back there, I think C.J. Smith is your guy. He is not afraid to come downhill and get very physical. And CJ's also got some pretty good ball skills. So you look at this secondary that struggled at times throughout the season. We're going to have to see if CJ Smith can potentially acclimate himself once June comes and potentially be a special teams contributor come September.
All right. Grant Norton is an offensive tackle. He's 6'8", 255. He's out of the state of Missouri. What do we know about him?
Someone that turned down both Wisconsin and Nebraska. Again, we're talking about an out-of-state offensive lineman that turned down an option much closer to home, a kid from Camdenton, Missouri. He turned down Scott Frost at Nebraska, and then he had Wisconsin come by the school in October and say, hey, you know, you have an offer from us if you want it. We really like your film. And he said, you know, I appreciate that, but I'm committed to Minnesota. Scott Frost takes the job, and in, I believe, the first 12 hours, from what I understood from the Norton family, Scott calls him because Scott had offered him at UCF and said, hey, I'm at Nebraska now. We need some offensive tackles. We'd love to have you. You know, that's great, but I'm going to stick with Minnesota. Minnesota was his first Big Ten offer. Grant came to camp. I've seen him camp, I believe, twice now. And the first time he came to camp, he got I believe it was a heat exhaustion. He was really battling the heat. It was about 95 degrees that day at TCF Bank Stadium. I think the heat got the best of me. He was sick. He couldn't participate. Minnesota was like, hey, you know, we're planning on offering today, but we can't offer when, again, we want to see you go. We want to see you come back in July. Now, again, some kids would take offense to that and not come back. Grant Norton really liked P.J. Fleck, and he wanted to come back and earn that offer. I saw him the day he earned his offer going against, I think, the best defensive line group that Minnesota had come to their camps. Someone at 6'8", 255 pounds. Now, again, for those of you who follow him on social media, you see the pictures of him with Coach Fleck. I can tell you he's 260 pounds. And the nice thing about Grant Norton, too, is if you notice the pictures, his dad is enormous. He is a bodybuilder. And so when you're looking at a kid that has to add weight to his frame, I don't think there's really a better influence than your father, who knows really well how to put on that good weight. So again, when you find 6'8" with length, someone that does have a motor, someone that you don't often see a 6'8" kid play guard for his high school team, but that's what they asked of him. So he's going to take a couple years to, once he gets in the weight program, gets up to that 285, 295 pound range. But 6'8" and athletic, especially with other Big Ten teams coming around, I think that's a good thing for Minnesota's offensive line.
All right. Tell me a little bit about is it Mariano Sori Marin? We're getting into the like tough name territory here with a few of these. He looks like he's a linebacker that's 6'2", 6'3"-ish and about 225 pounds.
Someone that, once again, you look at these Nike Spark scores. He was at the Chicago camp that I was at. And again, we don't have access to that data right away. And then you get to go back, and I believe a week later, and see what some of these kids ran. He was 6'3", 220 pounds. And I believe he ran like 4.7 laser time, which, okay, that's going to turn some heads. And you look at him and you look at where he's from. He's from the Chicago area. And you looked at his offer list. At the time that Minnesota had offered him, he didn't have anything. You know, he had some Ivy Leagues. He had a couple of Macs. And you're like, what in the world am I missing with a 6'3", 225-pound kid who's got a fantastic Spark score? Is the tape really that good? Well, the issue was there was no tape because he had broken his collarbone the last 2 years. His sophomore and junior seasons, there was very little tape because he had broken one side of his collarbone and the other side of his collarbone. So Minnesota kind of took a leap of faith that Mariano, you know, we really like as a player. You know, we really like what your potential could be at Minnesota. Here's an offer. He commits. He ends up having a very, very good senior year, in my opinion. Someone that, again, 6'3", 220 pounds. I think he's the future Mike linebacker once Thomas Barber graduates here in a couple years. So by that time, he'll be a redshirt sophomore. He'll have 24 months under him in a college strength and conditioning program. But he can really come downhill in a hurry.
All right. This name I'm totally going to need help on.
Mayan Ahanotu.
Ahanotu. Okay. He's a strong side defensive end, 6'3", 246, out of Florida.
He is. And I'm trying to pull up. I feel so bad. Okay. So his dad was a NFL defensive lineman for 10 plus years by the name of, I'm going to butcher this. So I'm sorry, Chidiam Ahanotu. I believe he played for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for quite some time. Someone that was a big part of that Tampa 2 defense when it was first getting acclimated. And when you look at the offer list that Mayan Ahanotu had at the time when he committed to Minnesota, he had the University of Oklahoma. He had the University of Cal Berkeley where his dad went. They were a major threat for him at the time, amongst others. And Mayan ends up choosing Minnesota. Again, you have an out-of-state lineman with like places like Oklahoma, and amongst others, I believe Michigan State was among them as well. And we've seen how well Michigan State defensive linemen have done in the league. For him to come to Minnesota is a big deal. And he's someone that is 6'2", 6'3", 240 pounds. Now, I think he's probably going to start as a strong side defensive end. And if he gets big enough, which I think he might, he's probably going to be a defensive tackle. Probably going to be that three technique, someone that 285 pounds-ish. We're going to have to see how he grows. But you look at this defensive line class, the best in the last 18, 20 years, according to the internet recruiting sites, Mayan Ahanotu is a big reason why.
All right, let's talk a little bit about Jack York. He is an offensive lineman out of Texas at 6'5", 300 pounds.
Probably the biggest coup that isn't being talked about, because you look at some of the teams that tried to come in late on Jack York. And the story with Jack York is Minnesota, he was committed to, I believe, San Diego State. Out in California, obviously, Minnesota was looking for another offensive tackle. And they were like, hey, Jack, we want you to come up. We know that you can't camp. I forget what the reason was that he couldn't camp. But he was there that day, the same day that Grant Norton was. And Minnesota was also looking at a Georgia offensive lineman who has not signed yet. And they were like, well, we plan on taking two of these three, but we want to see what the other two kids do. And we want to look at what Jack York looks like in person. They decided Grant Norton looks great. And Jack York is the tackle. These are our two bookend tackles that we want to have. okay. So he flips from San Diego State to Minnesota. Doesn't have a whole lot of Power 5 offers. Now, here is just some of the teams that tried to come in on Jack York right before National Signing Day. Arkansas, Duke, Missouri, Oregon, UCLA with Jim Mora, UCLA with Chip Kelly, Texas Tech, Baylor, and I believe there's one other one. So you look at just some of those schools. Minnesota is able to hold off Texas Tech, UCLA twice, Oregon's old staff, Arkansas. I mean, you look at it, that just doesn't happen. That hasn't happened in recent memory for offensive linemen. So Jack York is someone I'm very excited about. Again, you look at an offensive line group that, in my opinion, just needs more talent in there to breed competition. Because if you're the starter and you know that your backup isn't the greatest, that's probably not going to push you every day to be the best at practice. Now, you can be the most motivated guy in the world, but there are going to be some days of practice you just don't really feel like being there. But if you have someone breathing down your neck, you're going to be damn well showing up every day trying to do what you can to make sure your spot is there. And that's where a guy like Jack York can come in and potentially, again, someone that when he was committed to Minnesota initially was 270 pounds. He's already up to 300. So 6'5" with length, 300 pounds. And he's got a nasty streak on him. I'm excited about Jack York.
All right. Braylon Oliver. He is from the state of Georgia. He's an outside linebacker. It's 6'1", 215 pounds.
The most productive player in the state of Georgia. And Minnesota had one on the offensive side of the ball and the other one on the defensive side of the ball. I believe Braylon Oliver had something absurd like 130-plus tackles. Someone that I believe was the player of the year for his region in the state of Georgia. And Georgia kids get me excited more than they did when I first got into this game, because I believe the stat was after the last NFL draft that if you look in the last 3 to 5 years of where the most NFL draft picks have come from, it's the state of Georgia. It's not Texas. It's not Florida. It's not California. It's Georgia. So for you to come into the state of Georgia, get someone like Braylon Oliver, 6 foot, 215 pounds, and can absolutely fly, yeah, I'm going to be okay with that, especially when they're holding off schools like I believe Iowa came in late, Duke came in late, West Virginia. I mean, you're able to beat out Iowa. I know that many Gopher fans are like, okay, that's good enough. Again, Braylon Oliver knows how to find the ball. I know that PJ Fleck mentioned him on signing day as one of the guys he can see contributing early. I can absolutely see that, especially on special teams. I think that the whole Coughlin, Kamal, Thomas Barber group, especially with Blake Cashman in there, is going to be your kind of four linebackers here for 2017. But if Braylon can be a contributor on special teams to start, I think that'd be a very good thing for Minnesota.
All right. I'm going to take a stab at
Akonji.
Oh, man. I wasn't even close. He's got to be the toughest name, so I'm glad to have that one over with. Strong side defensive end, 6'2", 240.
Someone that picked up a lot of offers early on in his recruitment from places like Mississippi State, Michigan State, Maryland, Wake Forest, Virginia Tech, Minnesota. Well, the deal is with there, Minnesota, I believe, had Terrell Smith, his teammate, committed. And they were like, hey, we really like Abby too. Terrell, can you kind of work on him? Abby ends up coming up on his own dime in the spring, really likes it. And I think Abby is someone that a defensive line is going to be a contributor sooner rather than later. He has some of the biggest, most powerful looking thighs that you will see in a defensive lineman. That's something I know that I get excited about, is big legged linemen. I mean, especially defensive side of the ball, you want to be very powerful there. If you're not the biggest of guys, it's one of the reasons why Steven Richardson was so successful at Minnesota, was because he was so powerful with his legs and his lower body, able to play with leverage. Abby is very, very good with his hands, in my opinion, someone that is going to probably be in the rotation in 18 to 24 months. I don't know that I necessarily see him playing right away. We'll see what he does once he gets in the strength and conditioning program. But again, beating out Michigan State, Mississippi State, Maryland, out-of-state linemen, once again, part of this best defensive line class. It's a very good thing for Minnesota.
Eric Gibson, a guy out of Michigan. He's a wide receiver at about 6'2"-ish, 200 pounds.
Someone that they were able to see at camp, I believe, at Western Michigan. Someone that came to the Nike camp, ran very well. Someone that they were able to do a whole lot of they were able to get him to camp again. When I believe he was there at that Minnesota camp I was at. Someone that, you know, you look at the three guys they signed at wide receiver: Rashad Bateman, Jornell Manns, Eric Gibson. Now, Eric, I don't think is on the most on the best track to be an immediate contributor. Now, I could be wrong in that. He could come in and light up fall camp. But I think he would probably be best suited for a redshirt year. Someone that has very, very good ball skills with a lot of length at 6'2", and I believe he had a 4.6 laser time on a day where nobody really ran well out in Ohio. So 6'2" runs well with good length and good ball skills, something Minnesota needs at the wide receiver position.
All right, Florida running back Bryce Williams, 6'190".
Someone that had a lot more offers than he'd be willing to talk about. The quietest kid probably in this class. Someone that is a part of the top 25 running backs in the country, according to 24/7 Sports. He got a bump just before National Signing Day. I didn't see that one coming. Bryce Williams went to a bunch of camps during the summer, including places like South Carolina. And South Carolina, I believe, was amongst one of his three SEC offers that he received. So he commits to Minnesota in the summer over SEC offers. Being from Florida, that's a big deal. Now, Bryce Williams reminds me of Shannon Brooks. And that should be a very – just the way that he runs, just the way that he looks, his playing style, his speed. I think if Bryce can be what Shannon was when he was healthy, it's a good thing for Minnesota. So you look at we'll have to see what happens with Shannon Brooks still again. Misses the final month of the season with concussion issues. No more Kobe McCrary. Roddy Smith can't have all the carries. So I think Bryce is going to be able to come in right away. Someone that is a weightlifter – as well, in terms of he's a competition weightlifter. That's what you want from your running back.
All right, Austin Beyer, an offensive guard from the state of Ohio at 6'5", 285.
I think this is the guy that my boss in the Midwest here, Alan True, may be most excited about. He went and saw him play out in Toledo, Ohio, St. John's Jesuit, someone that really impressed him, someone that Ohio State got word early on that, hey, we might want to take a second look at him in September. So once Minnesota went and saw him, and once Allen went and saw him, Ohio State goes and sees him. Now, Austin is 6'4", 280 pounds, someone that had other Big Ten offers when he committed to the University of Minnesota. I believe they were from places like Indiana, Northwestern, Duke, and he's remained committed to Minnesota throughout. Again, a kid that doesn't like to do a whole lot of talking, but is a nasty guard, someone I'm excited about in the interior of the offensive line. No more Vincent Calhoun, no more Garrison Wright. We're going to have to see how that plays out here and beyond. But I know Austin's been putting in a whole lot of work. So another offensive lineman with multiple Big Ten offers coming to the University of Minnesota.
All right. The first commit of the 2018 class, Benny Sapp III. He is a cornerback. Technically, I guess he's from Eden Prairie now. He's 6', about 185 pounds.
Someone that I saw when he was healthy against Lakeville North. And he was dynamic. And if he would have remained healthy throughout his entire senior season, I would have made a strong case to keep him as the top player in state. Now, unfortunately, he suffered a torn meniscus, his third knee surgery in as many years, or maybe it's 4 years. But he is 100% now. And I guess that's the important point for Minnesota is even through the third knee surgery in his high school career, Minnesota sticks with him because when he is on, he's a 6-foot corner that can lower the boom. And I probably said that far too many times here, but this is a corner that's not afraid to be physical. Now, the question is going to be, how many snaps does Benny Sapp actually see in his collegiate career? Because if he sees a lot, that's a very good thing for Minnesota, as he's a tremendously talented corner. The question is going to be, can they find a way to keep him on the field? Because durability is a concern. But if Benny Sapp is finding ways to stay healthy, I think he can be an immediate contributor for Minnesota at corner.
All right, Brevin Span Ford. He is a tight end, 6'6", 235 out of the state of Minnesota up in the St. Cloud area.
How many times on the Breakdown podcast, Luke, did you, me, and Derek talk about Minnesota receivers' inability to go up and win a 50-50 ball? Probably too many times.
That's been like a topic of conversation just far too often. We started actually counting the number of balls that they would win 50-50, and it was far too small.
I'm excited about Brevin, and I made a huge push with Allen for him to be the top player in state, and he ends up getting there. Someone that is one of the top tight ends in the Midwest, 6'6", 235 pounds, and he's just pure athleticism. The first time I was able to see Brevin was at the Nike Chicago camp, and he went up on a corner and he made a beautiful one-handed catch. Again, you don't find guys that are 6'6", can be athletic and can win at, I mean, he's a kid that had Division I basketball offers. Again, you want to see someone being used between the hashes that Brandon Lingan was early in his career. Nate Wozniak, who, by the way, was Pro Football Focus's number one run-blocking tight end in the country. Well, I think a red zone threat that Minnesota's been missing is a player that's been able to go up and win 50-50 balls. That's what Brevin Spanford does. I mean, you watch his highlight tape. I've seen him do it at camps. I know that that's what Brevin can do, and I think he can be an early contributor just because of that. If you look at someone that Minnesota is a mismatch nightmare, Brevin Spanford is too big for corners, he's too big for safeties, and he's too fast for linebackers. I'm excited to see what Brevin can do potentially this fall, but if not then, definitely in that 2018-2019 season.
All right, cornerback Terrell Smith out of Georgia. He's a 6'1", 170 corner.
Someone that, again, had a very, very good offer list. Someone that Notre Dame tried to get in on, and then unfortunately they spelled his name wrong on one of the first edits that they sent to him. I think the message was relayed to him that, hey, if you're such a big priority for Notre Dame, how come they can't even get your name right? So that interest from Terrell that was quickly snipped, and he also had offers from places like Michigan State, Wake Forest. I mentioned Wake Forest, Jay Saville being the defensive coordinator there. If you like Minnesota's defensive backs back then, well, Terrell Smith had a Wake Forest offer. He also had offers from places like Louisville, Kentucky, Duke, amongst others, someone that is going to be the fastest player in this class. Terrell Smith may end up being faster than Jalen Myrick. We're going to have to see what he runs this spring as a senior, because Jalen Myrick never did run his track as a senior. But if Terrell Smith can surpass what he wants to, I believe he has a 10.38/100 on record last year as a junior. And then he also has a 21.8/200, something like that. He's an extremely fast player at 6'1", 170 pounds. If you can find that as a corner, I think you're going to be doing very well. So, again, you have your speedster coming in at Terrell Smith.
All right, JUCO offensive lineman Jason Dixon, 6'7", 310.
Someone that Minnesota is very excited about, and this could be your starting right tackle come that opening game of the season. Jason Dixon's story is quite remarkable. If you can, go to Jason Dixon, search Jason Dixon 24/7, and go back to an article about him from March. He is quite the story. Coming out of high school, he didn't know what he wanted to do, so he didn't go to a secondary school. He worked odd job construction jobs. He bagged groceries. Then finally, his mother was like, Jason, you're 6'6", 300 pounds. You're a very good athlete. We're taking you to community college. I think you should try to give football another shot. He ended up really liking it out there at Diablo Valley College. UCLA comes in and says, hey, let's stay close to home. Come play at UCLA. He commits there. He ends up decommitting, I believe, in October. Doesn't really know what he wants to do. PJ Fleck gets in contact with him. Jason even self-admitted, when I came on that official visit December 8th, I really didn't know what to expect. I'm a kid from California, been there all my life. And then I came out to Minnesota and saw what the Twin Cities have to offer, and that's where I wanted to be. I know that Arizona State was absolutely livid that he committed to Minnesota. They thought that they had him in the wraps, especially with Herm Edwards there now. They had to hold off Arizona State hard until National Signing Day, where Jason was able to put the pen to the paper. But Jason is tremendously talented, very athletic, someone that is a lot like Donnell Green, Minnesota's left tackle, who, if he plays like he did to start the season consistently throughout 2018, I think you're looking at a top 100 draft pick. I do. I think Donnell Green's ceiling is immense, and I think Jason Dixon can be there if he continues to work with Ed Warner and Brian Callahan. So potentially Minnesota starting right tackle, someone that is going to have 2 years to play two, and he'll be here in June.
All right, Elijah Teague, he's out of the Chicago area. He's a defensive tackle at 6'2", about 290.
Elijah Teague, correct?
Yes.
Okay, Elijah Teague, someone that is the highest rated defensive tackle in quite some time to commit to the University of Minnesota. His offer list when he committed to Minnesota, he was one of the first commits to commit to Minnesota. I believe he committed to Minnesota back in February. Elijah Teague, to me, has the most dominating camp performance that I've seen from a defensive tackle in my 7 years going to Minnesota camps. And when he camped there, he was going into his junior season. I remember going up to him being like, how many offers do you have? And he had a couple. I go, and so what, and you're going to be a senior? And he goes, no, I'm going to be a junior. I go, oh boy, you're going to be a big time guy. I mean, you look at some of the offers he had: Michigan State, Oklahoma, South Carolina, Tennessee, Wisconsin, Ole Miss. This kid could have gone anywhere. From the Chicago area, decides to stay true to Minnesota, even though places like Michigan State are making a big push for him to come play for them late. Elijah Teague, I think if you're looking for someone that could play early on and factor into that rotation at defensive tackle with no more Andrew Stelter, Merrick Jackson, Steven Richardson, Elijah Teague has a is one of the guys I would peg to be there, yeah.
All right, I accidentally skipped Nolan Edmonds. He's a running back out of Georgia, about 5'11", 205.
Someone that we also have rated as one of the top 25 running backs in America. I believe he's the number 24 in America. You look at his offer list: Michigan State, Boston College, Illinois, Pittsburgh, Purdue, Syracuse. I mean, someone that had a lot of opportunities to go elsewhere. Someone that ran very, very well at the Nike camp down there. He started his senior season a little bit slow with an ankle injury, but he really came on strong at the end. Someone that led his team deep into the playoffs there. Someone that, again, you're looking at Minnesota trying to replace Kobe McCrary. I think that Nolan Edmonds could potentially come in right away. He is the definition to me of an all-purpose back. You see on his highlight tape, he's really nimble when he's able to get in space with screens. So, again, you look at somebody that can catch out of the backfield. So I really think that Nolan could be an all-purpose back for the Golden Gophers.
All right. So finally, I guess for guys that signed on the early national signing day, I mean, we're talking about this and we haven't actually had the official, like, what was February? What is it? The first Tuesday in February or something. We haven't had that signing day yet, but Rashad Bateman, he is a wide receiver out of Georgia, about 6'2", 180 pounds.
I think this is probably the crown jewel. I don't know what Curtis Dunlap would be, but Rashad Bateman turning down Kirby Smart as a Georgia guy is just an iconic story. I mean, the story goes, Rashad Bateman, the Monday before signing day, I believe, so 9 days away, has Kirby Smart come to his school. And Kirby Smart comes in and says, hey, you know, we really, you know, here's an offer. You have a committable offer from Georgia. What do you think? It's like, you know, I appreciate that, coach, but I'm going to stick with Minnesota. He ends up taking a selfie with him, putting it on Snapchat, and saying, smart wasn't too smart. Row the boat. You're talking about Rashad Bateman from the state of Georgia turning down Georgia, the in-state school, to come play at Minnesota. That just doesn't happen. I mean, you also look at schools like Tennessee, Texas A&M, South Carolina, Ole Miss. I mean, that's five SEC offers, including Georgia, trying to come in after he's committed to Minnesota in the last month, and he turns him down to come play for the Golden Gophers. Rashad Bateman is an outstanding basketball player. Now, he thought he was going to play basketball going into the spring of his junior season. Then he decides, you know, I really want to play football. So he decides to not pursue basketball, where he had offers from places like Virginia Tech and Penn State. Decides, I know I don't have a lot of offers right now for football, but I really want to see what happens. Minnesota hears of that, says, hey, come to one of our satellite camps that we have in the state of Georgia. He does, earns an offer, commits on the spot. And then Minnesota is able to hold off five SEC schools, including Georgia, to sign him. And again, 6'1", extremely explosive on the outside, someone that I believe is going to be contributing from day one. Absolutely. I mean, you look at what he did this year, 83 receptions for 1,500 plus yards and 21 receiving touchdowns. I've been told from multiple people that have covered the state of Georgia for quite some time that Rashad Bateman was the best in-state player at receiver in the state of Georgia this year. And for Minnesota to be able to get him over five SEC schools is a really big deal.
All right, let's wrap up with Logan Richter. You can kind of tell the story there. He's a defensive tackle, 6'4", 290, and he actually did not sign, but he was a commit to this 2018 class.
Now, yeah, so Logan Richter is going to gray shirt. He came out with that on National Signing Day. So what does that mean? Think of him as a 2019 early enrollee. He is a defensive tackle from Perham, Minnesota. There was a mutual understanding between Minnesota and Richter that it's best for both parties if, you know, Logan comes in December instead of right now. Now, I'm still unsure if Minnesota had to meet that hard 25 scholarship cap which they are currently at. So it's a little bit unclear there. But again, there was a mutual understanding between Richter and Minnesota that, Logan, we still really want you, but we're just going to both agree on this gray shirt, and you're going to come in December. So think of him as a 2019 commit to go with the already two in-state commits that Minnesota has for that 2019 class.
Yeah, so you've got Cole Kramer, a dual-threat quarterback out of Eden Prairie, Minnesota, so you know he can win. He's 6'1", 180 pounds.
He is, and I was talking to Luke about this in the pre-production meeting. I've seen Cole 4 times, I think, now, and I think he's probably going to be the one guy in this class in state-wise that I'm probably going to be just putting my neck out for. Someone that I know isn't the biggest guy. He's not in the best of offenses at Eden Prairie, running, you know, that not exactly a passing conducive offense. But Cole is someone that, from talking with the Eden Prairie coaches, they think is the best quarterback to come play for Mike Grant. I mean, that's a big recommendation for them to give. Cole also, in his 2 years as a starter there, has a 30 touchdown to 0 interception ratio. Now, once again, I understand that he's only thrown just south of 200 passes in his career, but to have a 30 to 0 touchdown interception ratio is a big deal. And when I first saw Cole Kramer, my first ever time seeing him was at a summer camp in June, where Minnesota quarterback commitment at the time, Brennan Armstrong, was there. Max Duggan, the top 2019 Midwest quarterback, was there. Graham Mertz, the second best one, it was there, who's now committed to the University of Wisconsin. And then Cole Kramer. Cole Kramer absolutely belonged in that group, and I thought Cole Kramer was better than a couple of the quarterbacks that day. And I remember turning to the guy next to me who I was watching with, and I was like, he's going to be a big-time guy. I mean, he was not fazed by who he was with when he was throwing. I saw him then come back to another camp with Graham Mertz. He looked really good there again. I then saw him play against Lakeville North. I saw him deliver the ball perfectly 45 yards down the field in stride on the sidelines, a beautiful throw. Again, I understand that Cole isn't the biggest guy. And again, I do understand that he is Carter Coughlin's cousin. So you're hoping that potentially he can gain another inch or two here, because again, he is only 16 years old right now. So does he gain another inch over the summer and get to that 6'2", 200 pound mark? Maybe that'll make some more people happy, but I just think that Cole Kramer is a no-brainer offer for Minnesota at the quarterback position. Someone I know I'm excited about.
All right, and the other 2019 commit so far is Jason Williamson. He's an Owatonna. He'll be a senior. He's not going to be a native. He's an athlete at 6'1", 205.
Yeah, Jason Williamson was basically a one-man wrecking crew for Owatonna this year, leading them to a 5A state championship. I remember getting a text from former Minnesota coach Mike Sherrill saying, I think this back in September, that I think this Williamson kid is going to be a pretty big deal. Yeah, I think he ended up being a pretty big deal, because you look at what he did as a running back for Owatonna this year. These are just video game like numbers. He had, over 7.5 yards of carry, over 38 touchdowns, which is just absurd. He had 11 100-yard-plus games, someone that scored, I believe, 44 touchdowns this year. He is just a fantastic athlete at 6'1", 6'2", 200 pounds. Now, I talked about Josh Honey already. I think that Jason Williamson is a bigger, stronger, faster version of Josh Honey, who I think is potentially Blake Cashman. Now, I don't know what Jason Williamson is going to be. We have him listed as an athlete for a reason. I'm excited to get both him and Cole Kramer out to some camps around the Midwest to see how these two compare to what the best has to offer for the Midwest in 2019. But I know that Jason Williamson is a fantastic athlete, someone that wanted to be a Golden Gopher, someone that was extremely productive as a runner for Owatonna. And I believe he also picked off 6 passes on the defensive side of the ball. So whether he's a linebacker or a running back or whatever he might end up being, I think you offer him as an athlete and you figure it out from there.
All right, so I think that really the only topic we really should probably touch on yet is we're nearing the date, or maybe we've passed it. I don't think we have. Where they'll have a 10th assistant added to staffs all around the country.
Yeah, that date I believe is today or yesterday.
Okay, yeah, I wasn't entirely sure. Yeah,
and I know the two questions I'm going to be asked are, Number one, can I get a Mike Sherrill's update for all you GI members? I know you should be chuckling to yourselves. And number two, who do you think it's going to be? I don't think Mike Sherrill's in Minnesota is going to happen. In fact, I've been told per sources that I don't think Sherrill's has been reached out to from Minnesota about that 10th assistant coaching job because, as we've talked about on Gopher Illustrated for quite some time now, I would be hard-pressed to think that it doesn't go to Joe Rossi. Who is Joe Rossi? He was on the staff last year as a defensive quality control guy, someone that comes from that Greg Schiano coaching tree, someone that was the defensive coordinator at Rutgers in 2013, 2014, or it might have been 2014, 2015. So again, someone that, again, PJ Fleck from that Schiano tree really respects. You know, Rossi was already here, so what do I think happens? I think they announced Joe Rossi as the linebacker coach so that Rob Smith can just assume the defensive coordinator position and not traditionally just have to work with the linebackers. Now, Joe Rossi worked with the rush defensive ends this past year, so again, basically linebackers, but I do anticipate Joe Rossi, former Rutgers defensive coordinator, being named the linebackers coach as Minnesota's 10th assistant coach.
All right, so overall, I'll hit you with some real quick hitter questions. I guess kind of those guys in that early signing period, maybe name one from the offensive side, and I'm trying to think defensive side, guys that you know are you might see playing this next season.
I think the easy way out is to say Victor Viramontes, Rashad Bateman. But again, I do think those are the two that if you're going to look on the offensive side of the ball, Minnesota's receivers really struggled to get separation and catch the ball. Well, as where Rashad Bateman comes in, Minnesota doesn't currently have a quarterback on the roster that's thrown a collegiate pass. Well, Victor Viramontes being the number one JUCO in America, you'd have to think he's going to have a great shot with Tanner Morgan to potentially be in there. I think we should probably also mention Zach Anistead. We forgot to
really
touch on him as a PWO, but Zach Anistead turned down Power 5 offers to walk on at Minnesota at quarterback. I mean, that's a big deal. He turned down Pitt. He turned down another Power 5 school to come be at Minnesota. That doesn't happen for Minnesota quarterback recruiting. So Zach Anistead's also going to be here in January. So you look at that kind of core of Tanner Morgan, Victor Viramontes, and Zach Anistead. I mean, that's a big deal. And then on the defensive side of the ball, I think you're looking at guys like on the defensive line, like Elijah Teague, linebackers like Braylon Oliver, and then in the secondary, guys like Terrell Smith as well.
All right. So any hot takes before I let you go?
I don't know that I have any flaming hot takes. I mean, I've already been rambling on for an hour. So, if you want to, folks, again, it's been a sensational last few months at Gopher Illustrated, page view-wise, subscription number-wise. I mean, you guys have been fantastic. I know that I've gotten a lot of messages either on Twitter or on GI that, you know, you've been listening to the podcast for a long time. Now that you've been able to kind of see, again, we lured you in with Gopher Gridiron Radio. You came in, you saw what GI was about. I mean, again, I can't tell you how many messages I've got like, hey, I'm so glad I ended up pulling the trigger on GI. I love the community. I love the content. Between you and Gobi on the football side of things, and then Ryan James on the Gopher basketball side of things, it's well worth their money. So again, I know there's been a lot of you guys that have been listening throughout the entire season. First of all, Luke and I want to thank you for that because our numbers have been absolutely sensational this season. I know that I was talking about them with Luke in the pre-production meeting. You guys were awesome throughout the entire season. Again, now that we're into January, I don't know that we're going to do a whole lot more podcasts for the time being here as there's not a whole lot to talk about, but I just want to thank each and every one of you guys for a sensational 2017 season. Now, I understand that 5 wins wasn't the way many of you wanted to go. I didn't want it to go. I don't like covering a 5-win team. But PJ goes out and signs a top 25 class on a 5-win season. Now, imagine what he can do on a 7, 8, 9, 10-win season. I mean, that's exciting. So, Luke, I just want to thank everybody. And you have any final words before you take us out?
No, I think... That pretty much will do it. Other than obviously we'll be back around the August time frame for sure, and probably talk a little bit during spring ball as well. So
yeah, we'll be back in the spring. So
yeah, so don't delete us from your subscriptions. Keep stay subscribed. But yeah, we appreciate you listening, and go Gophers.